Okay, well, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm not quite sure why Ron should ask me, as if I'm an authority on this subject. I'm not really. I've had to work hard to prepare these slides. It's not a subject I've ever spoken on before or taught before, but I've learned a lot too. That's one of the advantages of preaching. You learn a lot in the process of preparing to teach. Okay, we're going to look now at the Southern Kingdom. Now, there are a couple of things we need to realised before or at the beginning of this time, and that is that some of the dates are uncertain. I haven't concentrated on dates. The authorities disagree on some matters, and sometimes the years are out simply because the Jews generally counted a part of a year as a whole year, and so there's often overlap and minor discrepancies because of that. Now, the years I've generally indicated are the years of the reign of a king or their co-regency. There were a number of them reigned co-regently with another king, often their father or their son. Now, there are 20 kings and 12 prophets in that period, and I cannot go into much detail, but I'm going to attempt to go through the kings briefly at least, so we'll get some insight into them. I've just put one or two points in your notes about those kings, sort of a key point or a highlight, but there's so much more that you could say about so many, especially kings like Hezekiah, a wonderful king. Now, one thing I discovered, incidentally, in doing this, and I didn't ever realise this, that the name Jew is derived from the first part of Judah. Is that correct? It is correct. Okay, I'd never realised that before, so I'm learning too. Now, unfortunately, this particular passage, fortunately, this does occur many times in the record of the Southern Kingdom, but it doesn't occur in the record of the Northern Kingdom, as Ron would have pointed out this morning. No one, no king did write in the sight of the Lord. But fortunately, we will come across several who did just that in the Southern Kingdom. All right, well, the Southern Kingdom didn't get off to too good a start. Rehoboam, when he came to power, he asked his old advisors, what will I do with this request to lighten the burden and lighten the tax and lighten the labour? And they said, listen to them, and they will obey you. You'll have them serve you. He went to his younger advisors, his own age, and they said, oh, no, look, tell them we're going to make it harder and harder for you. I guess because they were the ones that were benefiting from his rule, and they'd gain. Anyway, he listened to the young ones, and of course we know what happened. Israel was divided, and 10 of the tribes abandoned Rehoboam and went north and set up Jeroboam as their king, as Ron has mentioned earlier. And from that point on, it was downhill for the nation of Israel as a whole. There was often civil war between the two groups. Civil war, they're the same people, they're Jews, they're fighting one another. How important it is for us to have unity, isn't it? Paul said to the Ephesians, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the word to us today. And we could take here as a bad example of unity when Israel was split. Now, this is the area of the divided kingdom. King David had subdued most of the surrounding nations prior to that, and they were receiving tribute from these surrounding nations. Now, just out of interest, this is the nation of Israel today. It includes the West Bank, but it does not include Gaza. Now, in those days, note that Israel actually occupied land to the east of the Jordan River, that is today part of Syria and Jordan. Now, the source of the information we have is primarily from 2 Chronicles. And there is some extra information also in 2 Kings and little bits we gain from the prophets relating to that period as well. Now, this is interesting to note. The book of Chronicles, or the books of Chronicles, were probably written by Ezra. We gather that because this verse, which doesn't relate to what we're speaking today, but this verse and the one following is actually identical in 2 Chronicles, the last two verses of 2 Chronicles and the first two verses of Ezra chapter 1. So probably it was Ezra continuing his writing when he wrote the book of Ezra. Now, there are many other documents mentioned in the scripture. You get the book of Shemaiah, the prophecy of Ahijah, the book of Jehu, and so on. Quite a lot of them are mentioned in scripture, so they obviously existed at that time. But they do not exist today. I've searched for all of them, and at best there are tiny fragments of some of those documents. Obviously God didn't want them kept, and so they have disappeared in the annals of history. Now I'm going to use this slide as a key slide through the talk today. It's a cycle of evil, good and revival that illustrates what happened to the southern kingdom of Judah. They went through periods of evil where there were bad kings. Other kings were quite good kings generally, although they weren't perfect. Well, none of them were perfect. And then there were periods of real revival. Jehoshaphat and Joash and Hezekiah and Josiah especially really tried to restore their people back to the true worship of God. Now, first of all, Rehoboam. Generally, I'll put it like this, who he was, and the meaning of his name, all Jewish names have a meaning, as I'm sure you know. And I put them in. Now, sometimes that meaning did apply to them. Sometimes it didn't. It wasn't a good name at all. Rehoboam ruled for 17 years. Now, it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. Now, we have to be careful about the word Israel. Sometimes it does refer to the northern kingdom. Sometimes it refers to the southern kingdom. And sometimes it refers to the whole of Israel, both of them together. So be careful. You have to put it in context when you read that particular word. So the ones that were with him, of course, were Judah, although they were Israelites. Now, soon after the division that occurred because Rehoboam had made a stupid decision, in the fifth year of his reign, an entirely unexpected blow that devastated Judah. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasure of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Yes, Rehoboam actually gave them to him to try and pacify him and get him to go away and leave them alone. But that is actually recorded in history too. There is this record exists still today. The Bubasite portal at Karnak, depicting a list of city-states conquered by Sheshonk, which is Shishak, often the names are spelled differently, in his Near Eastern military campaigns. And of course, one of those was the conquest of Judah. Judah destroyed a number of the fortresses that Rehoboam had built in the cities surrounding him. And Judah never actually fully recovered from the sudden loss of her national wealth. Now, Rehoboam had some other ideas too. He'd split the nation and he thought he could reunite them, he could get those 10 tribes back. And when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. He thought he could do it by force. Well, the word of God came to Shemaiah, who was Obadiah's father, incidentally, the man of God, and he said to Rehoboam, "Say to Rehoboam, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel." Now, surprisingly, Rehoboam took notice, and he didn't go up and start civil war with the northern kingdom. Now, Rehoboam did repent. He was humbled. Chronicles says, when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely. And things also went well in Judah. Even though Rehoboam had acted foolishly, God did not destroy him. Rehoboam was still an evil king, but certainly was not the worst of the kings that ruled in Judah.